Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. And the first story today is titled, District 118 Reports Over $4 Million in Savings. And this story is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. A budget realignment plan has allowed Danville District 118 to shift around $4.2 million in expenses to state and federal grants without cutting any staff. The plan reduces the potential deficit from nearly $8 million to about $3.4 million, according to the financial update presented to the District 118 board. We're really looking at the local dollars and how we can reduce what we're spending locally by moving some costs into our grants, District 118 Superintendent John Hart said. The total cost savings to the district out of local funds is $4.2 million. That's pretty significant for one year. The district is doing this by shifting the pay of the following positions into grant funding: social work interns, home interventionists, pre-K teaching assistants, and more, according to Hart. By shifting the college expense dual enrollment tuition to Title I funding, the district will save around $200,000. Freezing computer staff refreshes for one year saves about $300,000. Reducing building and director budgets by 15% saves around $988,000. Scaling back professional development and consulting contracts saves around $329,000. Adjusting retired teacher pay saves around $98,000. There are additional savings of about $869,000, as five administrative positions will not continue this year. Why haven't we moved this way into title grants before? Board President Darlene Halloran asked. I think it's important for the public to understand exactly what we're giving up in order to move these things and preserve as much as we can. Hart responded with, "We've never been able to put curricular materials in grants before. We're now able to do that." The School Resource Officer, or RSO, will also be moved to being paid from grant money with Title IV funds. I will say our fine arts camp is not taking a hit, Hart said. It is the most attended camp we provide, to be quite honest with you. We still have that in the district. Board member Christopher Easton commended Hart on the savings. If you didn't have these cost savings, it would potentially put us at an $8 million deficit, Easton said. But now we're looking only at $3.4 million. Nothing is carved in stone. Everything is a conversation, Hart said. Everything will come to the board, and I appreciate the fact, at least in the space we are now, that everyone's asking what funding source a lot of these expenditures are coming from. I think that's important. Hart emphasized that the district rumors of a hiring freeze are untrue, especially with multiple vacancies. We are hiring positions that we have open. We've had vacancies for the last 5 years, mostly special education, Hart said. We are not hiring new positions or creating positions. Two different things. If anybody is looking for a job, please apply. We have them. Our next story is titled Project Success Hosts Empowerment Wellness Event. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. Preventing gun violence through career and mental wellness opportunities is the mission of the third event put on by the Youth Council with Project Success. On Wednesday at the Laura Lee Fellowship Hall, Project Success is holding a youth empowerment and wellness event from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Jamie Neitlinger says this is their thing, and referring to the youth, helping the youth with an event connecting 16 to 22-year-olds with future opportunities. Neitlinger said, we are planning on having entrepreneurship tables, apprenticeship and internship opportunities, and local employers that are hiring in the area. She added, there will be a job application zone with employers who specifically hire those 16 and up, a mock interview and resume building station, and support for those wishing to complete a job application on site. There will also be a room of community resources and barbers on site offering haircuts. As for mental health, Crosspoint Human Services will be on site with a stress management mini workshop and will share a mindfulness activity. Leaders with the Navy, Army, Danville Fire Department, and more will be present with job opportunities. This is actually the third Voices for Change series that we have been doing, where the students are focused on best practices for gun violence prevention, she says. And a big thing that the students talk about is being able to get jobs and their mental health. So this is an extension of what the youth told us that they need, that they think would lessen the violence in the city if these things were available more. There will be opportunities for advancement for the youth as well, with local leaders. Congresswoman Robin Kelly is going to have a table for an internship opportunity, she said. Tricia Teague with the Trepp School is going to do an entrepreneurship table, and Kevin Sage from the Danville Area Community College is going to have some information about trade schools. Parents are also welcome to attend, along with their children. Neitlinger says the event is going towards our gun violence prevention efforts of providing opportunities to the youth to hopefully keep them making better decisions. Our final story from the front page today is titled, Workers Memorial to Honor DHS Grad. Danville. Joshua Bland, a 2016 Danville High School alum, will be honored in this year's Workers' Memorial Day ceremony. The ceremony is taking place at noon today in Danville and at 5 p.m. in Champaign. Bland died in December of 2023 while repairing a commercial roof in Danville. He fell 33 feet to his death, which led to federal investigators issuing fines against his employer. His name will be etched on a memorial. Bland was known to those who knew him best as Critter, and is said to have loved music and making others laugh. There was an Occupational Safety and Health Administration investigation which found his employer did not enforce fall protection equipment for employees and that they had previously been cited for similar violations. What happened to Josh is beyond unacceptable, said Luther Baker, president of the East Central Illinois AFL-CIO. The most basic safety standards were not followed, and it led to this tragedy, which was completely preventable. Workers' Memorial Day began holding ceremonies in 1920. Every person whose name is on these memorials deserved the right to go home that day, said Kevin Sage, president of the East Central Illinois Building and Construction Trades Council. We have to do all that we can to ensure all workers are safe. If you want to add a loved one's name to the memorials, contact Luther Baker or Kevin Sage at ksage@ualocal149.com. The Danville ceremony is being held at 423 North Hazel Street, and the Champaign ceremony is taking place at Dodds Park at 1501 North Mattis Avenue. Turning now to some local and area stories, we have Danville Super 5K set for Friday, and this is a staff report. Danville. First Fridays is hosting the Danville Super 5K on Friday, May 1st. The race for runners, walkers, and families alike will begin at 6 p.m. from the Temple Plaza in Danville, with registration for the race starting at 5 p.m. Before the race begins, show off your Mario-inspired style in the costume contest at 5:30 p.m., just ahead of the race kickoff. Classic characters or creative mashups. Racers are invited to bring their best look to the starting line. Not a runner? Not a problem. The Danville Super 5K is open to walkers, strollers, and casual participants. This year's race route will take participants on a playful journey through downtown Danville, starting at Temple Plaza and into the Walnut parking garage, where each level will feature a different Mario-themed zone to explore along the way. Community members can also get involved by signing up to be part of a power-up team, helping cheer on participants and add to the race day excitement. The cost is $12 for adults and children 5 or older, while it's $5 for children under 5. For the safety of the participants, some downtown streets will be closed. In particular, North Vermilion Street from Main Street to William Street will be shut down from 4 until 8 p.m., while Walnut Street will be closed from 5:15 to 8 p.m. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact Macy Davis, Community Relations Coordinator, at 217-431-2317. Next is a staff report titled Student Internship Opportunities Available for High School Students. Danville. Applications are now open for a limited number of paid student internship opportunities for local high school students. Vermilion County Workforce Education, an initiative in partnership with Vermilion Advantage, Danville Area Community College, and the Vermilion Vocational Education Delivery System, announced those opportunities on Monday. VCWE will offer 20 paid internships to current high school juniors and seniors, ages 17 and 18. Each selected student will participate in a 2-week internship and earn $500 upon successful completion. With only 20 spots available, students are encouraged to apply early. These internships provide valuable, real-world experience across a variety of career fields. Participating businesses include Express Employment, Lakeview College of Nursing, Monyok Leadership, Two Roads Wellness Clinic, Watch Fire Signs, the City of Danville, TriGuard, Hall of Fame Plaques and Signs, Schomburg and Schomburg Construction, and Empower Counseling. Available internship experiences span multiple industries, including marketing, manufacturing, construction, mental health, clinical observation, finance, engineering, community development, community relations, and more. This is a great opportunity for students to gain hands-on experience, build professional connections, and explore potential career paths, all while earning money, said Jody Ingram, Workforce Education Director. The application deadline is May 8, 2026, and interested students can connect with their school guidance counselors on how to apply. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for April 28th. And the first today is for Charles Spears. Charles Spears, 61, of Danville, died Thursday, April 9th, 2026, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete, at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Bonnie Trimble. Bonnie Sue Trimble, 89, of Danville, died Sunday, April 26, 2026, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. And that is all of the obituaries that we have today. We're going to read a story now out of from the News Gazette titled Boys and Girls Club of Danville, Work on Teen Center Underway. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. It's been years in the making, and now, in only a few weeks, a groundbreaking is expected, and construction could start next month on a new teen center at the Boys and Girls Club of Danville. Club Executive Director Rob Gifford said the investment, which includes $1 million from the Golden Nugget Danville Casino, is not just for area children, but for the community as a whole as well. The club is to help youth's futures, but also for the future of the community, he said. The planning process for the new teen center started when the casino was opening about 3 years ago. As part of the host community agreement, the developers committed $3 million in one-time donations to the Danville Riverfront Improvement Project, the Boys and Girls Club, and the City of Danville for city buildings. Casino officials presented a check in 2023 for the Teen Center addition at 850 North Griffin Street. Club officials didn't know when construction could start on the addition. They initially had hoped to open the center in fall of 2025. Within that, it's not just about building it, it's about sustaining it, Gifford said. That has been their speed bump that caused them to crunch the numbers more, he said. Still planned is a 4,000 square foot open concept building addition to connect and extend north of the current facility. The entrance will come off the back current teen lounge. There will be a 15 foot breezeway into a 40 by 100 foot building. It will sit about 15 feet from the back of the end zone of the Garfield Park football field. McDowell Builders will be the contractor. Weather permitting, construction could be completed by the fall. The worst case scenario, they'd start occupying it by the first part of 2027, Gifford said. My hope is, and the board's hope is, that in the fall we'll be able to do maybe a grand opening ceremony, he said. Gifford said the building addition will allow the club to offer its programs to at least 100 more teenagers, which will keep them off the street. They were planning for televisions and couches in one area, a place to plug in electronics at certain times, interactive equipment, and they can move things around if they have an event. Every year, I have a waiting list, and it's over 100 kids easily every year, and it can be double that, he said. When parents learn about the waiting list, it can be discouraging. While there are other youth programs in the area, we're pretty much the main youth-serving after-school and summer organization, so our numbers are always full, Gifford said. He said they currently don't have room for more youth. The teen lounge is not big enough with all the other areas they have for different activities. About 215 youths are signed up at the club. Currently, they see about 170 daily. They can't go over 200 kids, he said, because they can't fit them all in. My idea was that I wanted to try and get somebody who would help us to build it without having to do another capital campaign, because it's just hard in Danville. We have great donors, but we're losing a lot of those. Businesses are leaving, and you're losing some of that revenue that we can get, he said. He continued to meet with Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. about their budget and what they have going on. Building a new teen center has always been out there, but they were never successful in getting it until the casino came in. Gifford said the casino's Wilmot family were very involved with the Boys and Girls Clubs in the New Jersey area, and they understood immensely what our role is with helping youth in the organization here and in the community. That began the planning process for the club and how many youth they could add. They, too, invested the money they received from the casino. When they got a price back for the new teen center, it was almost the total $1 million. They also needed to fundraise to sustain the addition with at least two more staff, supplies, and overhead. The club has received Julius W. Hegler II Foundation and Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity Grant funds, too. "I'm excited about the new teen center," Gifford said. "We're trying to do our part and help as much as we can to make a better difference and provide better outcomes," he added. "We are not a babysitting organization. We're here to provide service and positive outcomes. Kids don't just come here and run around carefree. It's structured. There's programs. There's things to keep them out of trouble and things to teach them about making good choices." The club is part of the landscape transformation at Garfield Park, with the swimming pool upgrades, football field, and other changes. The roadway through Garfield Park also will be blacktopped by the city. And returning now to some other local stories from the commercial news. Next, we have state trooper's vehicle hit by DUI driver on State Route 63. And this is from the Tribune Star staff reports. Newport, Indiana. An Indiana State Police Trooper's patrol vehicle was struck by a car at about 2:30 p.m. Saturday on Indiana 63 near County Road 100 South in Vermilion County, ISP said. Master Trooper Chuck Murphy was not injured. Carmen Thornton, 66, of Chicago, faces preliminary charges of operating a vehicle while intoxicated, a Class A misdemeanor, possession of controlled substance, a Class 6 felony, possession of a Legend drug, Class 6 felony, and reckless driving, a Class C misdemeanor. Police said Murphy was conducting a traffic stop when his fully marked police vehicle was hit by Thornton's car, which was southbound on Indiana 63. After assuring there were no injuries, troopers investigated and found Thornton failed standard field sobriety tests and agreed to take a certified test. Legend drugs, or prescription medication, also were discovered. Thornton was taken to Union Hospital in Clinton, Indiana, for a certified chemical test, and then on to Vermilion County Jail. Next we have Coleman's pleaded not guilty in attack on Danville Alderman. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Paris. Two brothers pleaded not guilty to murder and hate crime charges. On Friday, Jordan and Jesse Coleman entered pleas of not guilty at the Edgar County Courthouse. Court records indicate there is a demand for trial by jury, and it is set for June 30th. Records show the third person charged in the attack, Jaden A. Reynolds, has also entered a plea of not guilty and will appear next in court at 9 a.m. on May 22nd. Jordan and Jesse Coleman are facing charges of attempted first-degree murder, aggravated discharge of a firearm, unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and hate crimes. And they are both being held at the Edgar County Jail. Jaden A. Reynolds is charged with a hate crime and with giving a felon a firearm. The attack on Jones occurred on Friday, April 3rd, at White Oaks Park. And we have a story from CNHI News, Indiana. This is titled, Five Wounded Near Indiana University. Bloomington, Indiana. Five people were injured by gunfire near Indiana University's campus early Sunday morning, while several others suffered injuries while fleeing the scene. Multiple gunshots rang out about 12:25 a.m. Eastern Sunday in the 400 block of East Kirkwood Avenue, a popular nightlife hotspot, according to a press release from the Bloomington Police Department. After the crowd dispersed, officers tended to the injured. Police said they believe the shooting was triggered by a fight between two females near the Five Guys restaurant, according to a news release from the Bloomington Mayor's office. Several people drew handguns, according to cell phone and video footage from nearby restaurants, the Indy Star reported. Police believe two males fired their weapons. The incident happened at a celebration after the Little 500 college cycling race in the area just before 12:30 a.m. Nine people were taken to local hospitals, including six by ambulance, according to WHTR, the Daily Student, an IU Notify alert on Sunday morning, reported no shots were fired on the IU campus. A final update from IU Notify alert after 1:15 a.m. Sunday encouraged people to avoid Kirkwood Avenue while in Bloomington. IU PD officers remained on campus, and the notification asked anyone with information to call 911, according to the student newspaper. And in sports, from Marvin Holman, we have the following. Mustangs baseball sweeps Falcons. Petersburg, Indiana. The Fountain Central baseball team had only won two games going into Saturday's doubleheader with North Vermilion, but the Mustangs were able to double their win totals with a 12-1 win in the first game and a 16-6 win in the second. In the first game, Nolan Acton had three RBIs for Fountain Central, while Asher Davis had two hits and two RBIs. Aiden Batchelor and Wyatt Clark each had two RBIs, and Paul Adams had one RBI. Batchelor was the winning pitcher with nine strikeouts. In the second game, Batchelor had four hits and four RBIs, while Davis had three hits and two RBIs. Uriah Wildman had two hits and two RBIs. Bryson Ross and Ryan Mitchell each had two RBIs, and Acton and Adams each had one. Wildman had nine strikeouts on the mound to get the win. Eli Stevenson scored the lone run for North Vermilion in the first game, while David Jeffers and Brantley Dowers each had one RBI, and Lucas Deffenbaugh had two hits in the second game. The Falcons are 2-8 and will face Oakwood today, while the Mustangs are 4-7 and will face Covington today. And finally, from Community Briefs, we have technology classes for older adults. Teaching older adults about staying safe online, video chatting, and choosing a new computer are just classes offered during a series of free classes at Chris Healthy Aging at 309 North Franklin in Danville. The class will run from 1 to 2 p.m. on Friday, May 1st, and no registration is needed. For more information, you can go to their website, chrishealthyaging.org, or call the office at 217-443-2999. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.